It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 4:30, your final chance this week to win tickets to go see Creed. We're playing July 12th in Camden at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com. But we have a pair to give away at 4:30. But joining us right now, as he does every Friday at 4, you can see him on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show on Sunday. That is Ron Jaworski. Jaws, how are we feeling?
I am doing great, and happy holidays to everyone. And just got good news about 10 minutes ago that George Pickens isn't playing for the Steelers, so that's always good news.
Yeah, we don't cheer for injuries, but if they're going to happen.
We cheer for inactives.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
So I'm sure you've talked this to death, but we haven't talked to you about it. So I guess just one you know, big picture question on this, on AJ to Brandon to AJ and Jalen and all of that. What is your big picture thought on where that started and where it is now?
Yeah, without getting down into the weeds and dealing with the minutia of it, I've always had kind of a simple personal approach to it. You know, being a quarterback in the NFL for 17 years and a lot of different coaches, a lot of different players, I always felt it was kind of my responsibility to make sure those things didn't happen. Don't ask me why I came to that conclusion when I was playing, but I just felt if there was ever animosity, I needed to clear the air. So I guess what I'm saying is I think it's up to Jalen Hurts to get these guys together and clear the air. Now, some people may say the coach, some people may say the coordinator, whatever it may be. I think if you're the quarterback, the face of the football team, the highest paid player on the team, at one point one of the highest paid players in the league, I think it's incumbent upon you to settle any disagreements there might be, if that's a simple way to approach it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a leader way to look at it. You know, you said you don't know why you did that. I think that's what leaders do. Leaders put their pride to the side for a moment and say, "Hey, look, if somebody has to be the guy who says we need to talk about this, it's got to be me." You know, and I think that's what people look at for leaders of teams or anywhere really.
You know, I think Jalen has that ability, and I'm not saying he's not doing that. He may have worked the back channels to get this solved. I don't know. We may find out eventually, but I think just the way things played out at the end of the game, I was more disappointed because I didn't think Saquon Barkley got the notoriety and recognition he deserved for what he accomplished on Sunday, breaking the Eagles' rushing record. He became a sideline story, which I didn't think was fair to him after the season he's having and breaking a record. So that part kind of bothered me a little bit, but you know, that's the way football is nowadays. You know, everyone's looking for a story, and this team. But getting to the football side of it, this team is really good, guys. This team is really, really good. They didn't play their best football against Carolina, but if you look at this roster and you look at teams around the league, I don't know if any team in this league has a better roster than the Philadelphia Eagles. Now we've got to stay healthy. Now, Detroit may be comparable when they're healthy, but this team is really, really good. And I hate to see any distractions that could derail the way they're going.
I completely agree with you on that, Jaws. But I think we can all look and say, okay, if there's an area that can certainly use a little improvement or playing better in, it would be the passing game. If I just put it out there as the passing game. I ask you this, can you believe the Eagles? Do you believe the Eagles can use the formula that they're using right now and make a deep run in the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, or do you believe the passing game needs to become somewhat more of an integral part of the offense? Not necessarily switching it up, making it a pass-first offense, but do you believe the offense, the passing offense, needs to be a little bit more prevalent in the scheme of things?
Well, I actually love the way the running game is going right now. There's no question of that, and Saquon's doing a heck of a job. His offensive line is the best in the National Football League. The tight ends contribute, the wide receivers contribute. There's a reason this team is running the football as well as they are. But I would say I think we're going to need more explosive plays out of the passing game to raise that Vince Lombardi trophy. You know, the offense has been very good. The defense is very good. The passing game has been somewhat stagnant. And I spent a lot of time this week trying to put they're not, completing passes or something like that. And an interesting I do a lot of stat research. And after watching the Carolina game probably about three or four times, I really thought that Jalen's holding on to the ball too long. So I've been working with True Media for years. I helped them develop some of the stats that I think are important for the quarterback position. And one of the stats we had was, snap to throw. A ball snapped to how long it takes to throw it. In the Carolina game, Jalen held on the ball for 3.5 seconds before he threw the football. That is the slowest of any starting quarterback in week 14 that last week. So he was holding on to the football far too long, not coming out of his hand. So then he decided, okay, that's one game. I'm going to look at every game, go through the first 14 games before week 15 games. And what I found out was he ranked 33rd in getting rid of the football, 3.12 seconds from snap to throw. So clearly, you know, what I see on tape and what I see watching the game is validated by the actual numbers that he's holding on to the ball too long. And I've always felt when in talking to receivers and quarterbacks, and by the way, you know, I was very fortunate as a player to have Hall of Famers like Harold Carmichael and Mike Quick, and still rely on those guys for a lot when I talk football to reach out to them. But we always talk about, if you see the ball in my hand, I'm late. If it's in my hand and you turn around after you come out of your route and it's in my hand, I am late. So I'm seeing too much of that. There's got to be better anticipation on Jalen's side. The ball's got to come out. So when that ball's in the air, these guys can track it really, really quick and a lot easier. So it's just, I think, to make it simple, Jalen has to pick up his tempo.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the things you see. They're 30th in sack rate in the NFL. And you can look through, so yeah, forgetting about yards and touchdowns and all that. If you look at quarterback sack rate and you look at teams that have won the Super Bowl, nobody is getting sacked at the rate that we are. And that is, I think, speaks to the holding the ball, all of this thing. Everything that we're talking about all comes back to that.
But Spike, there's a pro and a con to that, too, you know, because Jalen does have the ability to hang in that pocket, break tackles in the pocket, and give you those dynamic, explosive runs. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, he takes a sack that he shouldn't, but there are sometimes he breaks that pocket, gives you that exciting play. So, I mean, it's hard to figure him out when it comes to that, because you got to leave it up to your instincts to decide if you want to throw it, do you want to hang in the pocket, or do you want to run.
So there is a lot more. We see the pass attempts at 20. I think the truth is that when you look at the number of passes they're calling enough pass plays for us to have a productive pass offense. He just has to do things quicker than he's doing them.
No question. In fact, you know, in the Carolina game, there were 27 passes called. They only threw 21. It's been kind of consistently in between that 25 and 30 number. But when you count scrambles and sacks, you know, it takes that attempts down a considerable amount. But maybe another example was, you know, the first pass of the game. It was, you know, it was after a nice run, and you get in a nice situation. And when you're early in the first series of a game, you got those scripted plays. The play that was dialed up by Kellen Moore was 100% correct. Tight split. You got A.J. Brown out wide. You got Smitty inside. You got Watson coming across. Dotson coming across. You got the perfect coverage. Exactly why the play was designed. They probably practiced that play five times at Friday's practice. But I don't know why he didn't throw it to AJ. It was open. It was a perfect play call, perfect design of play. I looked at it from the sideline. I looked at it from the end zone. I'm trying to look at Jalen's face mask. Did he move his eyes anywhere? It's pretty hard to tell when those cameras are so far away. But it looked like he was looking at AJ but didn't throw it. And I don't know why. So I can't answer the why, but I can say he was open.
So Pittsburgh on Sunday, they're 10-3. You know, they're missing Pickens, as you said. It's a tough game, but this should be a game that they go out and win, right? If they do things the right way, they win this game.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's two good teams. Let's be realistic here. I'm not going to discount the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. You know, the Steelers have been playing the same brand of football for 50 years. That's a big 5-0. You know, they're tough, they're physical, they run the football, they rush the quarterback. They got a great pass rusher in T.J. Watt. I mean, it's going to be, to me, a great litmus test for how good this Eagle team really is. But yeah, everyone's all geeked up about this game. I've been around town all week. It's almost like a Super Bowl feeling. You know, people love when there's a great number of Steelers fans will be in town. They'll pay a lot of money to get tickets.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they do travel, boy. Those Steelers fans travel.
They do up there. You know that. They'll have their fans up there. And that's great. Bring them on in. They'll leave their tail between their legs. But, hey, they have great fans. Like, Eagles have great fans. This is two really good football teams. I mean, really good football teams. So, you know, hey, anything can happen, but I got us winning it.
So you want to give us a score?
Yeah, 21-20.
Oh, okay.
All right. I feel better about that. Like I said, with Pickens on, I feel a lot better about that right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I like it.
All right, Joss.
Okay, brother.
Well, let's get a win. 10 in a row wouldn't be bad. I'd take that as well.
It'd be a team record.
Yes.
Team record. 10 in a row.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And nobody complaining after the game. Well, us. But nobody on the team. Yeah.
Especially your show on the station a lot. There's people complaining about everything.
Yes, sir. Yeah. All right, Joss.
All right, brother.
All right, guys. Be safe.
All right, thanks, guys. You know, it was interesting that Jaws and Donovan had both great quarterbacks for the Eagles had different mm-hmm. views on whose responsibility it was to have that conversation. And Jaws said, "If you're the quarterback, I don't care who started it; it's your job to end it and start that conversation."
I would agree with that as well, unless. I guess I would agree with that. You're a quarterback. I'm thinking to myself, unless the receiver has such an issue that you would rather him go to the quarterback to sort of just voice his whatever his issue is versus taking it somewhere else. But to Jaws's point, even your point, if Jalen understands there's an issue there, then that is part of your description as the quarterback. You have to be the level-headed one. You have to be the bigger person. And with these receivers at times, sometimes you got to tell them what they want to hear, man.
Yes.
It's just easier what it is, man. Yes.
It's easier that
Joe
way.
Joe Montana had to do it with Jerry Rice. He complained. People don't realize Jerry Rice complained because it was before social media days.
Right.
Yeah, Jerry Rice complained. He complained. He got the ball, but he still was one of these diva receivers that wanted things his way, and he's the greatest of all time. And I only say that to say they play a position where they don't get to impact the game like a running back does.
Yep.
Running back can get 2 yards here, 3 yards there, and you're still going to give him the ball. And eventually he breaks one. With a receiver, it's like, okay, you got to give me at least some targets. I like that thing that Jaws brought out. He said about seeing the football in his hands. So, in other words, when you're that receiver and you come out of that route, when I turn, should be on the way already. I shouldn't see the ball in your hands.
Because then it's too late.
It's too late at that time at the NFL level.
Yeah.
So, Jaws, he's better than anyone to be able to talk about that.
Yeah, and the tough thing for Jalen from the personal standpoint is that is specifically Sirianni's job. Not to mend fences, but to say, to give everyone credit,
exactly,
blah, blah, blah.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
But when you're a player, that's not what you've grown up. You have an ego. Your job isn't making everybody happy all the time. It's a different thing. There's I won't bring up another book, but there's another phrase called leaders give all the credit and take all the blame.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, you know, when you go to the podium after a game, mm-hmm. you say, oh, my offensive line was great, my running back was great, and part of that too is taking even if it's not Jalen's fault, getting AJ the ball.
You don't do what Aaron Rodgers has been doing this year.
Right.
Up there at the podium.
You go to AJ, even if it's not your fault, and you say, I think you said this earlier this week, hey, Matt, my bad.
Yeah.
You know, my bad. That was me. I should have got you on that one. I'll get you next time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry I'm missing you.
That's what you got to do.
Yep.
You got to be able to do that. Now, I will say this, and Jalen's sort of, AJ has to be receptive to it as well.
Or nothing matters.
You know what
matters.
I mean? Like, he has to be receptive to it. Boy, you just wish. Here's what I think. I think, I love Jordan Mailata's comment on this yesterday, or either the day before yesterday, where he said this isn't the AJ
and Jalen show.
It's about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because I do believe he's speaking for everyone else on the team.
That's real leader stuff from Jordan, too.
I completely agree. And somebody has to be the person that says it. And we want to believe that this little minor dust-up is something that they can put behind them. I'm not saying it's completely over with. I'm not saying it may not rear its ugly head at some point next year or whatever. I mean, if we all are to believe the chronological order of these things, this started last year at some point, and it has. And we said this before the season started, that at some point this stuff is simmering beneath the surface. We thought more coach quarterback.
But receiver quarterback.
But receiver quarterback was there, too. So hopefully they have put it behind them. And they go out there and play good football Sunday, man, because they still got a chance to do a lot of good things, man.
And
they can do a lot of good things with this season.
You know, Jordan is a leader. I think that's a great thing for him to say. And he said to us, I think it was a few weeks ago when I asked him about if this is the most dominant offensive line mm-hmm. he's played on, one thing he said was, we're all the same age. And I think there was something about the leadership prior where Jason
and
Fletcher were older guys who you can be a great leader, but if you're not the same like generation as the other guys that you're working with, it's tough because you message a different way, especially if you're one of the players, not a coach. If you're supposed to be the same, but you're not really the same. So I think Jordan was probably, with those guys gone, it creates a vacuum of leadership, and it gives other guys the opportunity to step into that position.
Yes.
And Jordan, it was a quick comment, but it was, you could tell he was serious.
It was poignant. He was a little irritated.
Yep.
You know, not that he was being asked a question, but more or less irritated they're being asked the question.
Yeah. Jack, do you want to get a leadership shot in there or a manager shot in there?
Well, I was just like, man, how many books did you read on leadership? Did you run this place or something?
Yeah, a couple.
A lot of leadership books.
At least I'm glad he read books on it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, he's informed.
Yeah.
What'd Lakin do?
Yeah.
Lakin's a natural born leader.
Yeah, exactly,
man.
Right. Yeah.
Anthony in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP. What's up,
man? See you Monday, Rod.
Fellas, what's up?
What's up, Ant?
What's up, Ant?
Not much. Hey, first, I want to start this.
Anthony,
you hear your pocket?
Are you on speaker?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I do want to clear something up. I tell you guys all the time, every time I call, and you know, I'm a coach myself. I play sports. First of all, I don't think it's Nick Sirianni's job. It's impossible for it to be his job to be responsible for dealing with the situation between Jalen and AJ right now.
Yeah.
That's impossible to do. That's not his job. His job is to provide the environment where when situations get to this point, that they know how to, as men, to deal with it themselves. He's not a babysitter. He's not there to, you know, when guys have tantrums and different things. That's why you have leaders in the locker room. I watched a situation earlier this year where Jalen Carter was going crazy on the sideline. And he was having a moment, right? What's his name? Like Howie Long's son?
Chris.
Chris.
Yeah,
right?
Chris Long.
Chris Long talked about this, right? And he said, I love that. He said, because if that's who you need to be for us to get the best out of you, to get this version of you in football games, I need to see that show up every Sunday, right? And it's the leader's job on the field. It's not like Nick Sirianni walked over to Jalen Carter, and I thought Jalen almost broke his arm the way he pushed him off.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, that's not Nick Sirianni's job in that moment. That's the leaders on the sidelines' job to, you know, make sure, okay, we want this out of you, but make sure we got this leash. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to see it. We need to not see it. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up. Ike, I don't know if you agree, but.
Go ahead, Ike.
No, I don't want to say it's completely not his job, because quite frankly, the coach is always responsible for what's going on with his players. I understand what you're saying about having one of the leaders on the team sort of being able to police the team itself for the locker room. But there are times, and maybe that was a time right there where Nick felt like I needed to step in, because he wasn't listening to Big Dom. Like, Big Dom, remember
with
that?
Jalen. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, with Jalen Carter I'm talking about.
Right, right. And I think as well, Anthony, I don't think it's Nick Sirianni's job to solve the problem between Jalen and AJ. But
mean with Jalen and AJ?
But with Jalen and AJ, I do think it's his job to force them to solve the problem. I don't entirely disagree with you that giving the players or giving whoever is under you the tools to do that themselves is the best case scenario. But that is not what their skill set is.
They're not equipped to do that.
Yeah,
yes.
Their skill.
No, I get that. I think what I'm saying is when you got guys, and my coach used to tell me this all the time. He's like a father to me. When you become the kind of player that A.J. Brown is, let's say a Terrell Owens, and mm-hmm. I'll say even Jalen Hurts, right, because he's a very talented football player, there's some ego that comes with that. There's a level of, you know, I'm the man that's going to come with that, right?
Yep.
And there's, for certain guys that have the talent, the superb level of talent that comes with that, like a Terrell Owens, right, like as a coach, yes, you can maybe help him understand that, you know, being a diva in the locker room is not the way to go. We built a culture here. We want to win, all this and that. But it's going to be up to Terrell Owens and A.J. Brown to understand that what we've built here, you get to see it every day.
Yeah.
This is not something I'm just talking to you about. This is what was built here before you got here. So we need everything that you do to be conducive to winning at how we want to present ourselves to the broader audience every day. That's all I'm saying.
And I like that. No, I like that, Ant. And honestly, I believe because AJ, which is it's why this is sort of different than T.O., this is not a shot at T.O. T.O. was just here for barely over a year and a half. And AJ has been here for 3 years. AJ has helped build this culture where it's at right now. Right. Like so he's invested. What you have to do with AJ is remind him, bro, this is who you are. You're one of the leaders on this team. You're a face of this franchise. You're a captain here. Like, this is what we built. We built this, so you're invested. He's invested in the team. Like, he's not trying to be separated from the team. He's invested in the team. You just have to remind him because, like you said, Ant, every athlete has that sort of ego. They either need it massage, stroke, or whatever, however you want to phrase it.
Yep.
They have that, especially when you're as good as he is. He just needs to be reminded that he's still important and that he's an important fabric of this team. So I think that's what they were able to get across to him.
And I think especially, too, I don't think he has a problem with Saquon, but this has been Saquon. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy like AJ, to your point, wants to feel important even if he's not getting the ball.
Yep.
You know, Ant, give us a power couple.
That's a great point, and that's why. And I just wanted to touch on my point real quick before I let you guys go and speak to it. Yep. I think that's a great point. Spike. You know, at the end of the day, I think AJ. You know, listen, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. I love the guy from everything that he represents. I'm raising a son in this world, right? And I'd be a lucky man if I had my son grow up and have the kind of character that Jalen Hurts has. It's not easy playing in Philadelphia, man. I've been a sports fan in this city all my life. This is the toughest place, in my opinion, that you can play. Is he the most beloved guy, and does he do everything the right way? No, but, you know, he's not going to be afraid of playing here like a lot of other guys will. And this is the reason I call that. So when you talk about confidence, right, like in sports, and I mentioned this earlier on the show, if you look at this weekend, I think it's circumstantial. And here's why I say that. If you're talking about Jalen and you're talking about a win versus a loss, right? Like, so at the beginning of the season, if you ask me this question, and let's say we were 2-2, I would say, no, the win is way more important, right? Because whatever, come hell or high water, we need to get back on a winning streak, however we do that. But at this point in the season, you mentioned earlier in the show, just a few minutes ago, at this point in the season, you need Detroit to pretty much lose 2 games for us to go undefeated to get the 1 seed, right? So if you look at how talented this roster is, you give me a confident Jalen Hurts down the stretch, I'll take that over a win against Pittsburgh any day of the week. We need to compete. If he goes out and throws an interception, cool. But if he walks away from that game, him and AJ have fixed the issues. He's throwing the ball down the field. He's just looking really confident with the talent on that side of the ball. And then we have that going down the stretch with Saquon going the way that he's going. Man, put us anywhere on God's green earth. I guarantee you we're going to triple our work. Man, that's how I feel.
All right. Okay. All right. Give us your power couple.
Oh, man. Here's my.
You forgot the damn couple.
Y'all might not like this one, but this is my power couple is Savannah and LeBron James.
Nah.
All right.
Yeah.
Spice like
it was such answer. A good call till that moment, Ant. All right. Thanks, man.
That's a power couple.
You can't be power when you're taking
days off.
You're taking leaves to go get HGH in Miami. That's not.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Well, I guess you can. All right. So maybe.
Savannah's got finer with age.
Yeah.
Okay, let me be quiet.
Yeah. Relax.
Happy day, Ruth Taylor.
Yeah. All right, Creed tickets. So coming up next, you got to sing for Creed tickets.
Oh, boy.
We will play a clip of a Creed song. It will stop. You have to sing with your heart the next line. And if you do it correctly, you get the words right, you get a pair of tickets to see Creed July 12th at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden. One of our winners this week is going to get a pit ticket upgrade. We'll decide that on Monday. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It will sell out. We have a pair of tickets now. So if you want to sing for Creed tickets, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.